Sit for us.
Yes.
We have fun.
All right. Hello. Today I'm going to be talking about configuration management with CF Engine. So basically, configuration management is essentially the theory of how do I manage configuration files.
Can you speak up?
A little louder.
Yeah, sorry, louder.
Yeah, we can't hear it.
Configuration management is basically efficient solutions to complex problems, such as how would I manage configuration files, how do I know maintenance paths, such as backups are completed on time, how do I ensure that important system files aren't protected against unauthorized access or modification. So it solves the problems of basically if you have 50 web servers and you make a tiny little change to your hvd.com file, how do you roll that file out to all your web servers? Or if some developer has a user account onto one of your systems, how do you just revert that change back? So basically, the general host lifecycle is you have a brand new system and you build it with Kickstarter or UEngine, however you engine.
See, we still can't hear you back here.
So the basic host lifecycle is you start with a brand new system, it just gets dropped into your data center, you turn it on, it doesn't have an operating system. So you actually then go ahead and build the machine a little bit and you're left it with its clean state, right? No one's logged into it yet, but it's basically, you have a base configuration on there, all the packages that you want are installed by your software imaging platform. Now the problem is, how do you initialize it? How do I, add the required users that I need? How do I give people access to it? How do I create my home directories? How do I create symlinks? How do I change permissions on certain directories or files? In the past, basically, you either did it by hand, which doesn't scale, you have more than three computers, or you would write very complex shell scripts or Perl scripts or whatever scripting language you want to use to go ahead and run that script, and then it will go do all the changes for you. But then the problem becomes is what happens now when you migrate from Solaris to FreeBSD or FreeBSD to Linux, right? A lot of those scripts then have to be tailored, so you have to still maintain your legacy system, but then and modifications to take into account your new system. So, after you initialize it, you're left with the machine that's then configured, and then basically the life cycle is just to maintain it. But the problem is that eventually the system's going to fall out of sync with the rest of the machines, and it's going to be left in an unknown state. You were debugging in production, and you forgot to revert back your changes. Someone just installed software without the following telling you. So now you run into problems, and you can either debug the machine or you can rebuild the machine. That's it, and start over again. And then eventually you just retire the machine, you pull it out of production, throw it in the closet, or leave it on the curb for someone to pick up. So CF Engine is an autonomous agent in high level policy language to administrate and configure networks. So basically, it's only goal right here is to initialize the machine and keep it configured and to continually maintain it without basically requiring you to do anything except tell it what you want it to do. So with a tool like this, once the machine's imaged, CF Engine would run on it, you can actually then configure the machine to exactly how you want it. So the main goal of CF Engine is to describe to it what you want the end state of the machine to look like, not the steps on how it'll get there. It'll figure out how to get there itself. So, there's six main components that make up CF Engine, right? There's CF Agent, which is the actual portion of the application that does the dirty and dangerous work. It interprets the policies that you write and implements it. There's CF Exec-D, which is just a wrapper around CF Agent that allows you to run the prompt. It can send you out emails, things of that nature. CF Serv-D, which is actually your master server. So all your clients will connect to a master server, run CF Serv-D, and download their policies from them. There's CF Run, which is pulse host intelligence to run a CF agent. There's CF Environment D, which is collect statistics on the machine,
and then CF key, which is generate the public private key pairs on the host after CF engine is originally run. So some commonly used terms I'm going to use in this presentation, just so everyone is familiar, the host is basically going to be a server of any kind, or a server or workstation. The classes are going to be groups of hosts sharing a common policy, such as all your web servers, all your database servers, your FreeBSD 7 servers, or your OpenBSD 4.1 servers. And a policy is the description of a configuration. So basically, policy would be defined as the etc. password file should only be readable by root reveal on FreeBSD servers, things like that. And then the configuration is going to be the actual state of the file on the machine. So to get me started, CF Engine runs on basically any Unix-like and Windows machines. Ports are available in FreeBSD, OpenBSD, I believe package source. It's available, macOS 10 AIX packages are available for it. On FreeBSD, you can just install package add-r CF Engine, or you can build it from ports. If you don't have package, if you don't want to use package, you can just compile it. House completely on FreeBSD. So, just getting started, the goal would be to get it running on one host. So what you really need to think about before you're going to actually deploy large scale is writing your policies. So you have to take a look at what a clean system is to you and things that you need to monitor, detect changes on, and then getting trusted communication working, right? So the CF key application generates public-private keys that the host uses to authenticate and communicate with. And one of the main principles of CF Engine is autonomy. So even though your host machines are connecting to a master server to download all its policies, if that master server was to ever go away, CF Engine on the local machine could continue to run without any other requirements. So you want to minimize your dependencies, because sometimes the server might not be available and the network might not be available. But at the same time, any changes that occur on that host, you want them to be detected and reverted. And one of the really cool things about CF Engine is the CF environment can actually start to detect and configure itself. So you'll notice that if SSH is running on those servers, after a while it'll realize that SSH should always be running on those servers, and if it detects that it's not there, it can actually then it can restart it for you. It can detect, what's in the network, things of that nature. But in advance, I actually don't cover it in this talk. So, I guess the hello world in CF Engine. So, the main configuration file is called cfagent.com. CF Engine keeps all the configuration and writes all its output to var CF Engine inputs, cfagent.com. And basically how it works is you define your control on the top, and then the action sequence, which is just the blocks that you want it to execute. So this one just tells it to run shell command, and it'll run bin echo hello world on the machine when you run it. So,
can you read what that says in the blue?
So basically the top part right here, this is just your control statement, and then your action sequence, which basically is a directive that tells CF Engine the order in which it should execute your blocks of commands. There's a bunch of them, I'll go over them a little later. And then this right here is just shell commands, and this is just /bin/echo hello comma world. So what happens is when you actually run it, if you tell CF Engine to run using that configuration file, it'll just output hello world. So that's extremely simple. Example of just getting CF Engine up and running. So basically, just like in the other programming languages, you do that. Once you get hello world, it basically means that you have properly working installation of that particular application. So now the quick setup is for multiple hosts. So we're going to have to decide on the policies and stick that all to cfagent.com. Then we're going to have to distribute those policies to your multiple hosts, so that would be put in cfcertv.com. And then set up clients so that they install themselves, which is done in update.com. So we're going to have basically, what I was doing when I was making this presentation is I created a typical web 2.0 style network where I have a couple web servers in the front and then a couple database servers in the back. To make things easy for me, I just made it a, Class C network private. So CFServ, which is going to be run on the master server of my policy host, which is my main workstation, which I call Erdinger. So what I'm doing is I just define a domain. This allows maximum of 50 connections, and I'm going to allow connections from 192.168.1.0/24. So basically, all machines on my local network I'm going to trust, and I'm going to trust the keys from them. And then what I'm going to do is bar CF engine inputs. I'm going to allow any connecting clients to be able to download those files from that directory, and also the localhost key for that machine, the key for my master machine. And then CFAgent.com. What this is the how many local machines, when CF engine is run, it'll parse this file. So it'll run between every 10 to 15, 30, 35, and 50 to 55 minutes. And what it does is it basically staggers the connection so that you don't have 4,000 machines connecting all back to the machine, your master host at one time. And we do checksum updates. So what it's going to do is it's going to take the local, it's going to take a hash of all the configuration files it has locally, compare that to what's on your policy server, and if those hashes are different, it's going to grab the updated copy from the master server. And then what I like to do is just break my configuration files down into smaller, easier to digest chunks. So I'm going to import a bunch of different files. So any host, regardless of what group they fall into, I'm going to import cf.groups and cf.site. And then just my FreeBSD servers, I'm going to import cf.freeBSD. And obviously you can do just your Linux servers, just your Solaris servers, or you could even go a couple steps farther and say my FreeBSD AMD servers, my FreeBSD i386 servers. So what happens is when CF engine runs, it'll evaluate the machine and add it to a bunch of different groups based on characteristics of the hardware that it's running on, as well as the operating system. So the easiest one to do is just if the machine is a FreeBSD machine, CF engine can figure that out and then put that host into that group.
So if you use itself by itself, then it's FreeBSD?
Yeah.
You
don't have to supply any environment variables.
The
question is, CF engine is able to figure out that the host machine that it's running on is FreeBSD. The answer to that is yes. In addition to that, it'll also figure out that it's a FreeBSD 7 machine. It's a FreeBSD running this specific kernel and things like that. So
you just put a specific tag.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is it based on your domain? Where is it from?
I'm actually not sure where CF engine is pulling that information from. But
it's not only the union. So Linux, it'll actually pick up which variant, distro, as well as
Yeah, so basically,
the Oculus Prof will also pull out whether it's a that box or that had an enterprise box or a local Linux box, and each of those are exactly the same.
Yeah, so that's basically CF engine can pull it from various different sources. So probably on Red Hat it does it from like several Red Hat release.
Red Hat release.
Quite in the back.
Yeah.
And then update.com. Now this is the file that basically when you get it working, you don't ever want to touch it again, because if you make a mistake to this, you can hose your entire installation, because if this fails, the parse CF engine will be able to connect back to its master server and then download the configuration files. So basically, what we're doing here is I just have a control. So action sequence, we do, I want to copy files, and then I want to tidy also disk space. The policy host is Erdinger. That would just be your, you know, main CF engine, the master server where you keep all the things. I define a variable called master underscore CF input, which is where all the files are going to be stored. And it's work directory, which is a var CF engine, and display time, which is the amount of time that any machine, any host, client machine can connect to the server and basically remain connected. So somewhat of a denial of service prevention. So the first action sequence copy right here, what I want to do is on the master server, in var CF engine inputs, I want to copy that to var CF engine inputs on my local machine. Do an infinitely rehearse, so go down, you know, check all the directories, copy them over, rewrite, execute for just the owner of the files, checksum, so that's how it figures out if the files differ. And then I want to include CF files that start with CF dot or end in dot com, right? And exclude things like dot lst, dot bak, or tilde. So basically, if someone edits a file there in vi, you know, sometimes it'll make the backup, the recovery thing. I don't want to copy those to my servers. Basically, I only want to copy the configuration files. And then you just specify the server to get it from, and it's, you want to trust the key from the server. So basically, that's all you really need to get a client up and running. So now, if you remember back in CF Agent, I am importing three different other groups, CF.groups, CF.site, and CF.3BSD. So what CF.groups is, basically I'm just going to define different types of groups. So all my web servers, www0, www1, www2, all my database servers, I'm going to move into, I'm going to put into a group. And, you know, again, you can do any other type of search. You can define arbitrary groups here, SQL servers, things of that nature.
Can you do subgroups?
Excuse me?
Can you do subgroups?
Yeah. So, the question was, can you do subgroups?
Yeah.
And then, CF.site, it's going to be imported by every host that connects back to it. So what I do is define three action sequences, files, tidy, and edit files, and edit file size set to 0. And what that does is that to prevent making modifications to binary files on accident, it'll set an arbitrary length. So if a file, I think by default, is greater than 200K, it'll skip over it because it assumes it's a binary file. So the 0 just says, regardless of the file size, edit it if I tell you to edit it. And then I define a couple variables. So on any server, the temp directory, I'm going to define as /temp. And then on FreeBSD and OpenBSD servers, the shadow file will be extender master.password. The shadow permissions are going to be 600, file group is wheel, and then the cron directory is var cron cas. Now, because Linux has to differ ever so slightly, I have to define shadow files, etc. shadow. The permissions for that file is 400, and the file group is root. So what this allows me to do is when I actually go to make modifications on files, so right here, shadow file is going to expand to either etc. master.password or etc. shadow based on the operating system that CF Engine is currently running on. And it's also going to then set the permissions on that to whatever shadow permissions are set. So basically what this allows you to do is to reduce the amount of policies that you need to write based on differences within the operating system. So all you have to really do is figure out what the differences between the operating systems are. And what we're going to do is then do action equals fix all. So the thing is now,
if something happens to your shadow, your master.dot password or your shadow file, you want that reverted back to a nominative state. So if someone changes the permissions on it, you can have it then change it back. So the nice thing about that too is if you ever work in an environment where you have to undergo regular audits, like Sarbanes-Oxley or the healthcare one. Right. You can actually give them your CF Engine policies as evidence that you're making a best effort attempt to keep these systems in sync, and that actually counts as evidence to say that you're doing it. The other thing too is then you can also make it so that if you keep your password files and shadow files under source control like CVS or SVN, you can actually have it. You can check. You can make updates to that one password file and then distribute that amongst all your clients. So if someone was to add a new user to a machine, that change would get reverted back. And at the same time too, you can also then reduce the complexity of single user sign-in or having to create accounts everywhere by just making a change to one file and having that distributed. So you don't have to do things like LDAP or NIST or any other authentication method like that.
Can you give an example of if you wanted to add a user, how you distribute it using the CF Engine? All the hosts?
So that would actually be with copy files. So that would work similar to... So it would be... Right, so you have an action sequence called copy, and then what you do is you define where the file would be locally on your CF Engine policy server. So it could be like, var, CVS, etc. password, and then you have your systems administrators make changes to that file for user accounts. So every time you go to add a user account, you don't have to reset your password, you add it to the file that you're keeping under your source control. And then you just copy, you do the destination as on where you want that file stored on to be the client server. So again, you could do something wherein FreeBSD and OpenBSD, you would define the password file location. I guess, that doesn't actually only work for shadow files. So, you have a file with shadow that you keep under source control, and then you can define where you want that file copied to based on the operating system. So FreeBSD and OpenBSD would be extended master.password, Linux and Solaris, so I think it's extended shadow. And then
just a question, will it take into account format differences between like SE shadow and master password?
You can also just use the password file, and each OS has a way to convert the password stuff and add the new entries to either master password or SE shadow. So you can just add new users, because if you distribute the master.password to shadow, you also lose passwords that are
Password
it'll work with all the BSD.
Right, so if you shadow the sub is not master password is a subset of master password. Password is not a subset of shadow.
So you know what I'm saying is if you overwrite shadow, you overwrite the password. Distribute that shadow file across all the
things.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You're worrying about
it? Yeah, distribute shadow.
Use LDAP for something else.
Right.
This works a lot better for something like resolve.com, which is similar across all systems in a lot of cases, or an ApacheCom, or a lot of other things that it works really well for.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you. Yeah. So the way we actually worked around that was we would have some scripts. The main problem that we had was that we had in FreeBSD there's a limit of a person can only be in 15 groups on the system, and we just used a set of passwords and set of groups. So we had a framework for actually building out like master password and shadow based on the system. So yeah, it's not as simple, but it's actually a lot easier than Helm because I've done Helm app in production and Fedora directory server, and when it works good, and then when it fails, it's horrible. So
really. We're having a problem with it for the
customer. Which shell that server
could work or not?
So have you ever got failed in our project ever, actually?
Failed overworking?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I wasn't the one that set it up. I've got about 300 systems on CF right now, so it's a little interesting.
Okay.
And that's about 5 environments and 5 different types of systems. I set it up with a multi-master. We may be cheated. We may use a little balancer. That's what we're doing.
And then, so the other control too is going to be tidy, which is basically deleting directories. So temper, we can find /temp. And any file that's over 7 days, just delete it. The same with var temp. Just delete it. So then finally, they're directly called edit files. So what this does is it takes a file and basically grips through it. And if a line such as CFEngine 5308/GCP doesn't exist, just add it to the file. The same with UDQ. So you can do that too. What we would do is SSH, we control access to servers via SSH allow groups. So based on the groups that the machine is in, we would just do different append if no such lines to et cetera, SSH.v.com, we could do it with separate services, that resolve.com. And then finally, cf.freebsd. So this is the file that will only be parsed by FreeBSD servers. So if the machine is a Linux server or a Solaris server, this file actually wouldn't be opened up by CFEngine because originally in the cfagent.config file, which said specifically it's not, only FreeBSD servers parse this config file. So the action sequence is packages and edit files. And we define our default package manager as FreeBSD. By default, CFEngine, I think, uses RPM as its own default package manager. So rather than having to specify use package add every time, we just tell it in this particular file it's the default package manager in FreeBSD first package add. And FreeBSD install command, it requires a little bit of trickery to work around.
I kept on getting send faults when I was doing it, and the reason was because of the way it compares the package name that's installed on the machine. So the packages on previous year package name dash and then the version name, and what it will do is it'll actually then it'll try and split that string name, the package name, into two fields, the package name and the version name. And it does that by that little dash in there. And if the package doesn't have a dash in it, it splits it and doesn't get two fields out of it, so it's set default. And the reason for that is that the default thing is you package add, just CFEngine. It'll go there, and CFEngine on the FreeBSD FTP site is actually similar to a specific version. So to work around that, what you have to do is actually just specify the entire path to it. The thing that comes with the problem too is if you run multiple different architectures, this has a hard coded in there. So again, you have to think a little bit about how you're going to distribute packages to all your machines on a network. But in theory, you should also just mirror packages locally anyway. And then we also define the FreeBSD remove command, which is a package delete. So now
what we're doing on the package is an action sequence. Basically, any server that's a FreeBSD server, and this FreeBSD part is not necessary, again, because it's only got parsed by FreeBSD servers, but I'm just putting it there for fun. So I want to install the corn shell, because that's a good shell. I want to install sudo, and I want to install vimlite on every server. Now, if it's a free, it's a web server, then I want you to install Apache, memcached, the DBD for Postgres, MonTurl 2, and Varnish. And if it's a FreeBSD database server, install Postgres, the client, and the server.
When you install the database, for example, PostgreSQL, can you provide the tabs for the numbers? Let's say I want PostgreSQL 8x or above 8.
Yeah, you can actually specify versions as well. So you'd say install. Would you do greater than or equal to, and then the version you want? And again, too, if it has the dash in there, it can do the comparisons as to what installed on the machine. And operating if necessary. So I'm just trying to keep the examples simple. So, and then finally, on any server we want to run SSH, so just stick that into setterrc.com. On the web servers, I want to install, I want Apache 2 to start up when the machine's booted, so just add that into rc.com. That's the last slide. Yeah. So, now let's quit. So obviously there's a lot more you can do with this. You can have it create sim links, you can have it delete files, you can have it copy files, things like that. Didn't really go too much into it because I kind of ran out of time when I was making the slides. But any questions so far? Yes.
If I'm fairly proficient in a Unix shell, but I've never touched CF engines before. How long does it typically take to get up to speed? Because one of the things I noticed about CF engines was it's fairly complex in terms of configuration files and things like that. Let's say, arbitrarily I have 100 servers or something like that.
Well, I did this earlier this year. Yeah. We have an immensely complex set of environments. The real first question is, how similar are your servers?
They're fairly much something Solaris.
Do they all have the same programs on them at the same time? It's much more difficult if you have to figure out, the variations between the web server, the DB server.
You
all the configuration files.
But they're pretty much all the same. Yeah.
It's very easy. Yeah. And you just run through almost all the things you need on a basic system. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Okay. I can set up a new machine relatively fast and say you're going to take, depends on how complex your environment is, how many files you want to manage, how many packages you're installing, things like that, number of SIM issues. We'll take this out of a couple of days.
So basically, the best way to go about it too, would just be to get it running on a few servers, right? And then look at what you do on a day-to-day basis in terms of what commands am I executing on large groups of servers. So I guess whatever you're running, you're typing to the SSH. You guys still use that by any chance?
Yeah.
I don't?
Yeah, we wrote it. We had one call that same thing.
Oh, really?
Just a different thing than just running that.
Yeah, so, whatever you're running on that, so then, you're running, you have a bunch of web servers in front of a bunch of database servers, and you have a couple different types of web servers. So, and then you're just, distributing PHP, right? PHP files. So obviously your PHP.ini file, you put that under revision control. Every time a developer comes to you and says, oh, can you make this change to, allow larger file uploads through PHP? You just have to change that in one place, check that in, and then have CF Engine push that change out, as opposed to you then making a change and then copying that to a bunch of servers and then restarting Apache. So,
we'll see if it can bounce patches.
What?
Okay.
Yes. So you can actually then say when you modify a file, you can do
define. You can define.
You can define. You can define
how's it called? Class that then just goes and
runs a shell command.
Runs a shell command that restarts it. So the trick becomes though is that how do I restart Apache on Solaris or FreeBSD, right? So it gets a little complex there when you're running, you know, different operating systems because you want to sort of define that class one time, and this way you don't have a bunch of restarts scattered all over the place. So what you can do is,
I want a new database server. It's added to the group by name, by host name, assuming that CF master can resolve that name.
Correct. So basically what you would do is if you were to bring up a new host, so let's say you just dropped in a bunch of new servers into your data center, and you power them on, they pixie boot off the network, they install the operating system, and you basically are left with a base operating system with only a couple of configuration tweaks afterwards. One of them would just be downloading and installing CF Engine and then putting that copy of update.com on there somehow. And just waiting for that server to connect back to your policy codes. Then you have all your policies defined for a database server, so you're saying, you know, install Postgres, put server and client, add these, configuration, these kernel tunables so that Postgres performs better.
So it's really kind of up to the update.com?
Well, update.conf is what you define to have CFMD connect back to it. And then the policies that you write, so you maybe have something called cf.database.
Well, sure, but how does the CF master know that?
It's all run on the actual. Yeah, so again,
you're copying the files from the master down, and then it's all processed locally.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things is CF Engine is autonomous, so. It downloads a local copy of its policies, and it will always, refer to those policies. But before it runs, it'll try and connect back to the master server, check to see if newer copies of those configs exist, and pull those down. And
then so it's really more of a pull service rather than a push.
Correct.
So, another question. When it connects to the master, does it pull down all the policy files or just the policy files that...
It'll pull down all of them.
Okay.
And then it's up to your CF. So basically, the policies that it'll... So the question was, it will pull down all the policies. The answer is it depends on how you configure it. So what I'm doing here is I'm including in the initial copy file that begins with CF dot or end in dot com. Right? So it'll only look for those files and then copy those down. Whether it actually opens them up and parses them depends on, how you configure it. So you can obviously then put anything in there, so that you want to copy.
Yeah. At the beginning you mentioned that CF Engine can be used for any Unix-like system and also Windows.
Yes.
Now, I've read about CF Engine on Windows. Well, have you actually seen it working?
The answer is, does CF Engine run on Windows? According to the author, it does. I haven't used it.
So I would imagine that would run in double SigWin or something like that.
They've compiled it. Yeah. They've got a parser. It does hang out. There's on IRC or Freenode. CF Engine, and someone's generally around it actually. You can also probably look up the papers, they've been published a bunch of them, probably in LISA or some of the other conferences. But my version goes to this other group, so that's just about 5 or 6 weeks.
I'd also like to point out you're wearing a Mountain Dew shirt and asking questions about Windows. What the hell are you doing?
So, I think that's one of the Windows know that those stops pulling.
In theory, the node should never stop pulling policies. If the network ever goes away or your CF Engine policy server goes away, it'll continue running with the configuration files that it has stored locally. And then, it'll always attempt to connect back to the server. And eventually, if it does connect back,
the
you get used to your attention as sort of like basic control for life courses.
So it is not online in a server.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
Well, at the same time, it sort of can be.
Yeah.
But you're better off using something like Nautilus. So you can actually have it say if a disk usage is, if 20% of the disk remains free, then alert me. Or if you're really courageous, you can just have it delete files that are older than 30 days. The same thing too is you can also have it check for processes, right? So you say check to make sure HDD always exists when you do PS. And if it does, you can either have it send you an email or you can have it just restart a patch. So you can use it like a monitoring service, but something like Nautilus is a bit more advanced.
Can I just ask, this may be a little bit stupid, but I kind of want to wrap the brain around this. What's the process if you wanted to, say, drop 10 servers, you've got the safe engine all set up, you've got the rules set up, what's the exact process? You've got 10 x86 boxes, and they're going to be previously web servers.
Right, so what you would do is the host lifetime. So, obviously,
the OS, they've got nothing on it, what do you do?
Right, you have the OS?
They don't have an OS on it.
All right, so again, CF Engine basically comes in at here and sort of lives around here. So it's up to you to figure out a way to get it to this state right here. So what we did, I was running CF Engine on about 7,000 nodes. It was a Red Hat shop, so we used Kickstart to do it. Previously, you can netboot them, you can just you image them however your imaging system is, whatever you decide to use, and you get it up to this state right here when it's clean. You just put the operating system on it and basically haven't done anything. And you have some hooks into your imaging platform to somehow get CF Engine onto that machine and get CF Engine configured just enough so it can connect back to a policy host and download all the policies. Once you get that, then you CF Engine will start to initialize the machine and we'll leave it in a configured state and continually just maintain it. And when it starts to go to an unknown state, it'll revert it back to configured state.
One routine issue, and where are you guys manage those scale IP addresses? Because in order for this to work, there's one configuration there that you use. On your cleaning box in order to get this to work, right?
So,
do you guys have anything to manage that? Is there any facility in CF Engine to actually manage that one issue? I'm really getting down to little nuts and bolts, but that's kind of annoying ones, but that can get awful complex.
Right, so we were using DHCP. So basically, ahead of time, we had MAC addresses, we had DNS set up, and we had IP addresses associated with the MAC addresses. So the machine would always boot, and the machine was always set to boot, because you boot off the network. So what we did was you would just order all your machines from whoever your vendor is, and then pay them the extra, however much they want to make it so that the final configured to hold it to the primary network card. And then what we did was we actually had a system where it would pixie boot the machine, and it would detect if the machine was installed or not, and if it wasn't installed, it would go off to boot off the hard drive, and if it wasn't installed or you wanted it to be re-imaged, it would then continue to boot into your engine. So that was all done with DHCP afterwards. And so when the machine comes back with its clean operating system, it never sort of configured. So it can connect back.
Cool. You ever heard of Puppet?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll go to the email you.
Oh, it was you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he emailed me earlier, asked me what I thought about Puppet, and my answer was I looked at it and didn't actually deploy it because I had a couple things I didn't like about it. One of the nice things about CF Engine is it's been around since 1993, so So it's stable, it's mature, and you know, it had this history where the Puppet is fairly new. The other thing too is that Puppet's written in Ruby.
Puppet's what?
It's written in Ruby.
Oh, yeah.
So that leads to a couple different issues. One of them being that your application now depends on Ruby. So if you go to like this Web 2.0 super happy company, and you have to manage Ruby in production, and then one of you, you know, your developers goes and then actually upgrades Ruby without telling you, Puppet could break, and then you're kind of screwed. At the same time, too, is that, you know, Ruby then becomes another thing you have to track and worry about, right? I think there's just a bunch of recent issues with some security vulnerabilities within Ruby. So again, you know, you're a busy sysadmin, you have, you know, 10,000 nodes you need to administer. One thing you don't want to do is then have to join another, like, security mailing list and wait for those to plug in and then patch. The configuration file for Puppet is also a bit more complex. One of the things I like about CF Engine is that if you work with it for about 20 minutes, it starts to make a lot of sense, the configuration files, and becomes really easy to write policies. And again, you can give those policies to people with limited technical abilities at places that, you know, and those people then could review those to see that you're starting to actually comply because you're doing all the stuff that you're saying you're doing. And then they don't, like, but you know, that's not like a screenshot,
right? This file will allow for comments.
Yes.
Yeah.
We actually use that as our documentation for some of our systems. Just the file, yeah. Like, the CF file itself, not the file document, what I've done installed.
Yeah, it becomes seriously self-documenting, which is also nice, because I don't like great documentation. So, once they're taking, give me documentation, I can say, here, it's already written.
What's CF Engine written in?
CF Engine is C.
Okay.
Yes.
C. How comfortable are you with running the root process and all your boxes, though? So, well, I mean, master helps you run into anything else, but you're running CF Engine and DD or whatever the process is,
right.
As root on everything.
What's the question?
Question is, I'm an OpenBSD developer, and I'm worried about running processes as root on my machine that are not native to the operating system.
Just like CPS. I'm just not that comfortable.
So, the answer to that question is that CF Engine's vulnerability history is shady at best. So, they're having some issues. They do some things to minimize, so communications are done with public private keys. File copies can be done, you can actually encrypt them using one of the pads. And then, again, you just have to stay on the mailing list and, you know, be aware when there is an issue. So, it's inherently dangerous, but at the same time, there's trade-offs because as you get into, you know, networks that have more than three servers, it becomes extremely difficult to maintain that. So, you know, that's...
just one point. Between worrying about security and just worrying about making mistakes and sort of the consequences, I'd say you're much more likely to work your own system before somebody from somewhere else figures out something smart and does it just by the nature of the beast. If you get this, you don't need someone else to take out your network with this. this will do it for you. It's a executed tool. You said you want to do it, I'm fine with it.
Yep.
And then everything dies.
Yeah, along the same line, my fear would be like creating a unconfig, you know, that wasn't valid, you push on the machines and then they'll die. Have you ever done that?
It's called QA. I'm setting up a test environment using that.
Yeah.
I'm testing the config before you push out just to make sure it's sanitized.
And thing too is that you want to have your test environment to in your staging environment before you actually roll into production. But if you do make a mistake and it do happen, you can always correct it. So what will happen is that it'll attempt to parse your configuration file and say, I don't know what to do here. This is an error. And it'll stop actually then processing it. But once you notice that it's not processing that anymore on your master server, you go back and just correct that mistake, and then everything works again. If you break update.com, then that's when the real problem starts, because then the CF engine has no mechanism to connect back to its policy server and download the default correct.
So in the event that that happens, and you just done something that's broken up and big on 300 machines, right? Do you suddenly get your inbox exhausted by 300 messages, or how does it work? That's how it ends up getting managed. Is there any way to lighten that? You just screwed up your CF engine today, and 300 machines are now screaming at you. Is there any way to kind of funnel that down so that you don't
It's also a difference. CF engine is parsing the CF engine config files. It's not parsing, your RC comp that you're pushing. Right?
So
that's actually two areas where you could really blow the world up.
Yeah, but again, that becomes your staging environment, right? So, would you go into a regular production server and open up, RC.com and VI and just make a bunch of changes, and then you're shaking your head yes?
Yep.
So again, CF Engine gives you a framework to maintain your systems, but it's not going to stop you from doing stupid shit.
What do you mean your option?
A lot better than handling it by hand with classic server stuff.
True. How about in terms of volume? Let's say you push a new Apache comp, and then you followed it with HTTPD restart, and let's say it couldn't start. Can GIF engine make the output of that failure, log it or save it or email it?
You'll hear about it. Very much. Very quickly.
But before that.
You'll hear about it immediately. It'll be an email.
You won't hear about it until you do, and then you'll hear about it a lot.
Yeah, and then at the same time, too, obviously, you're going to have something like Nagios checking to see if your web servers are up, and if they suddenly go away, then, you should be getting alerts on that, too. Or if you seem to be using your end users' QA, then hopefully some of them will email you and say that, hey, your site seems to be down. But, again, it should be your QA environment where those mistakes are caught.
Right. How about the example you gave where you have CF engine protecting a file with permissions or content to not be modified? And let's say someone who productive you, who has access, modifies that file. It fixes it automatically. Do you look at the log every day to see what bad happened and CF engine fixed every day?
So you can actually, so CF Engine will make a log of what it does, and you can aggregate that down, and then it comes up to you to parse through that and find something useful. So again, you have to write, tools to parse those log files or deploy existing ones.
Or you can say inform yes.
Yeah.
Can the CF Engine master talk to this log server?
CF master doesn't actually do anything. Yeah. This is a problem.
The CF system doesn't aggregate anything, it just pushes stuff on.
Yes. If you're seriously looking interested in that type of a system, you may want to look at something like BCFG2 by one of the national laboratories. It's it's a separate style of config management system, but it has much more reporting upstream and has much more connection from the system back to a central point. It does do the monitoring thing you were referring to before. In terms of actually seeing which machines haven't checked in a couple of days and whatnot.
CF engine does that too. In the CFMD, you can do CF shells, and then it shows you all the stuff that happened. Like, this computer I have not seen this computer in 2 days. Right. So it sends you an email or something like that. But then you have to write your own scripts to it.
Right. But the other one, the BCFG2 is much, you built in much lower and much more obvious level than compliant. Just a different style of management system, and they're different.
And the other thing too is that CF Engine then can also start to detect anomalies within the system that you didn't even configure it for. So let's say you have a bunch of web servers that are pushing 2 megs out the majority of the time. If you have a machine that then starts to either, you know, do 5 megs or one that starts to only do 500K, it'll detect that, and then that can, you can be notified on that as well. So you can go, why is this machine doing more or less?
How do you know what's normal? How do you know the difference between a Friday and a Saturday?
Good time and a half. Obviously,
stability. Yeah, it says averages. So, you know, it takes the state of the system over a large period of time and then starts to build, you know, a database of what it's doing at certain times, right? So if it sees that, you know, you have, 15 users logged into a system, and then all of a sudden it starts to see, like, 47, it says, something's probably not right here, I should alert on that. Or if the load is usually at 1, and then all of a sudden it jumps to 15, and it knows right away that somebody's following.
What process levels
that is? Yeah, CFM, D.
That's why I do yourself in there.
First, how regular is the mail that it generates?
So, no news is good news if you never get an email.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there was a message. Is there like a strict message format? Or is it some sort of free-form nefarious thing?
What?
Okay, and two, is there a way to have it do something like an HTTP submit as a trigger instead of an email? You know, just basically say, go to a website or something, and magically just shows up in their database.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do your own basically. But you have classes.
You get,
like, every time something happens, you can say at an installable class, meaning that it's not yet defined yet, but eventually it might be. And then later on, you can have shell commands saying, if this class is defined, do this. And do this could be like, you know, connect using XML RPC and do whatever.
Okay.
And then you can turn off, you know, email.
All right, right. No, you can show up. Okay.
You said you've used its own port, right, for communication.
Yeah, 5308.
Did you have problems with firewall or anything, or? No.
It's only a problem if you don't have access to your firewall, I guess.
Alright.
So, really quickly, so I don't... Special thanks slide. Mark Regress is the guy that actually wrote CF Engine, and I stole like a bunch of slides from him. And then there's two fancy little host lifecycle graphs I stole from Jeremy Mace on his talk from Kickstart and CF Engine. And just wanted to acknowledge those people because I stole a lot from them.
Is it on the CC license?
It was GPL.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you folks.